ladies and gentlemen.
Get up with
Keisha and Tim.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
Waking up on Bendigo's Hit 91.9.
Got the feeling right now.
It goes like this.
Do we need to change that? Get up with.
Like, good morning.
Yeah, well, and this is the catch up. People aren't getting up with this. They could be listening to this in the nighttime.
We could say it was metaphorical and that their mood was getting up.
The nighttime, the time that we don't even ever get to experience.
Yes, we had a huge show today. We caught up with Nick from Married at First Sight. He was the one married to Cyrell. He told us a lot, including what he thought about her brother.
Yeah, he was real open and honest about that. We played our very first new game. Mm-hmm. Called what is it called?
Here if you need.
And what was
it? Went so well.
Keisha was in charge of coming up with the questions, and one of her questions.
Yeah, don't trust Wikipedia is what I've learned from this experience.
We had your thoughts on the strip club that could be coming to Bendigo. Yeah. We ran a massive Facebook poll. Check it all out in the catch up right here.
And last night on Married at First Sight, we saw Nick and Cyrell leave the experiment. And right now we're joined by Nick. Hey.
Hey, how you going?
Hey, oh, how you doing?
Nick. It's been going on. Obviously, you left the show last night. In reality, how long ago did you actually wrap up filming? When did all of this happen?
Filming finished the first week of December.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was quite
ages ago. Okay. So you've been like single and living your life like normal Nick, and then all of a sudden this has been exploding in the last couple of weeks. What's been what is your normal life like now?
Well, obviously haven't been playing the single card. You can't sort of be doing that. You're under contract and you just got to follow the storyline. So I haven't done any of that.
So you haven't been dating anyone new?
No, just been laying low.
Oh, just being laying low.
And now finally, now that it's finally out, are you just like, oh, thank God I can start hitting people up?
I was on Married at First Sight, not Love Island, so I'm still looking for somebody to settle down with. But my DMs are going off. It's pretty crazy, actually. Some people are savage.
Savage? What do you mean by that?
Just some of the comments some of the girls make. They're pretty full on. It's,
Are they full on in a positive way, Nick?
Yeah, is it what you want or what you are deleting?
Positive. No, it's positive, yeah.
Yeah, I think one thing about you, Nick, that really stood out, like there are some interesting characters on the show is a nice way to put it. Some people are just downright pieces of work. And I think that you really came across as a nice guy and a genuine guy and someone that wasn't just in it for the publicity. Was it weird when you were on there kind of moving around those people? Like, you just avoided that Jess situation like a pro.
Yeah, I just think back and I'm watching now and I see some of the comments people are making, some of the actions, and I'm like, nuts. What is wrong with you? Why would you do that?
Was it as obvious when you were actually filming the show that these people were as crazy as they're being portrayed on TV?
Sometimes, like the way, like this whole Sam and Innes thing, we heard rumours, but we didn't know the extent that was happening. You know, now Dan and Jess, we didn't know how much, how long that was going for. Like, we just had no idea because Jess kept saying stay, and we're like, why are you staying? Like, he's not working. What are you doing? And then, you know, to hear about this and see this, you're like, oh, well, that explains everything, but what the hell?
Yeah, I bet you're pretty glad that you turned her down after what's coming out now. Well, I have to ask you, are you still friends with Cyrell? Like, how is your relationship with her?
Not really. It's a bit hit and miss, yeah. It's not good.
Oh, that's disappointing to hear. I mean, someone that you're probably happy to get rid of would be her brother.
That dweeb.
It was so funny watching him try and intimidate you.
Like a big tough guy.
He looked like he'd borrowed his dad's NBA jersey when you guys were playing basketball. Did you have to pretend like you were taking him seriously?
Yeah, I had to. It was hard. Like someone yelling at you that's 4 foot tall and you're 6 foot three. It's like, there's no credibility there. What do you do?
I think it was also like...
He's always wearing these fake shirts, like the fake Louis Vuitton shirt, the fake Michael shirt. What's going on?
Yes, but his family did teach us one very important thing, and that is to never swear in front of food.
Family were beautiful. They were lovely people, the parents.
Oh, that's really nice. So what's life looking like for you now, Nick?
Yeah.
As soon as I finished, I went straight back into my shift work. So, yeah. I'm an electrician by trade, so yeah, just straight back to work.
Is it weird when you show up at somebody's house to fix a light bulb?
I'm back in. I work in mining industry now, so yeah, just a lot of banter from the guys. All the guys taking the piss. They go, my wife watches that show. I was like, no, she doesn't. You bloody watch the show.
100%. You know what? My brother is a tradie and he actually works very close to you, Nick, and I know that he is obsessed with watching it.
Well, we've heard that some AFL football teams follow it. Like, that's the team show that they all watch. What's next? What's going to be next with you? Obviously, like, Love Island, all these other shows keep popping up. Are you going to do something else or are you calling it quits?
Nah, it's not in the cards, not in the plans. I'm just cruising, just going to do my work. I'm trying to do a bit of charity work while I can now. I did some stuff at a local hospital here in Newcastle the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Just
I saw that.
while I sort of can, while I've, you know, got a bit of a...
Well, you got the spotlight on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So see if I can do some good with it while it lasts. Yeah, so
yeah, awesome.
That's about it.
All right. Well, Nick, thanks so much for having a chat with us. We loved you on the show and best of luck with all those DMs that you're probably wading through.
All good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Nick.
And wow was exactly my reaction when we first saw the little sticker, or the big sticker, the big circular sticker that popped up. We actually first saw it on Bendigo Have Your Say, of all places. My favourite place for journalism.
And what did the sticker say to him?
So this sticker was on the window of what used to be the Black Swan, down kind of towards Rosie Park. And it said, "Kittens coming soon."
Yes.
And it was spelt in a very interesting way that we don't need to get into. But basically, it was referring to, it was hinting at the fact that Bendigo could be getting a strip club.
That's it. And we were both like, wow.
We were like, Post Malone.
Very interesting. And so the two of us went down to what used to be the Black Swan to go and check it out. But the sticker had been removed. We thought, is this just a rumour? What is going on in the world of Bendigo?
Well, I wondered if it had just been photoshopped. Like, it's very easy to make it look like there's a sticker on a window.
It is, but we actually checked the photo and it doesn't look like it's been photoshopped. I'm pretty good with picking up on what has and hasn't been edited. I don't think it has, unless it's a very good job.
I had my doubts because it obviously wasn't there. So the next thing that we did was we wanted to find out what the people thought.
Yeah, we did. We put up a Facebook and Instagram poll that got over 5,000 votes between the two. So that's to me, that's a pretty good indication of where the percentage lays.
What are people
now thinking? Now, the two options. So the question we asked was, rumour has it Bendigo could be getting a strip club. How do you feel about it? 81% of the 5,000 votes said, yeah, why not?
Really?
Yes.
81% of people cool with it?
Yep. They said, yep, why not? Only 19% said absolutely not on board. So that gives that's a pretty fair indication of how people are feeling. But I mean, is it a rumour? I don't know. 81% of people, kittens, you should be looking at this. 81% of people in Bendigo are like, yep, bring it on.
Dave's commented on the post and he said, there goes my weekly paycheck.
A lot of the comments on it have said, cool, less trips to Melbourne. Also, a lot of people have said council will never let it happen.
Yeah, that's a big thing that a lot of people said.
Yeah.
So at this stage, we know that a lot of people were keen, but it was still a rumour mill, a churning, which was this was the point that I went, okay, got to put my detective hat on.
Yes, get out the magnifying glass and do some investigative journalism. What did you find, Tim?
So I went on to the Kittens Facebook page, the Kittens Melbourne Facebook page, and they also had a very cryptic post up. Actually, not that cryptic, but they had a post.
Like, what's cryptic about it?
They had a post that was up, and it was a photo of the sign to Bendigo from Melbourne, from the Calder Highway. And it said, big things are coming. Big things are happening. So I think between the sticker in Bendigo and the post from Kittens themselves, I think it's happening.
Well, it's either a really good publicity stunt or it could
Why
be
would
coming.
It be a publicity stunt? Why would they want people to get excited about something that's not happening?
I don't know. Maybe they want feedback. Should we write to Kittens? Let's do their launch party.
Well, why don't we try and track them down?
Okay.
Yeah, they're not open at the morning.
I'm writing this down.
At the moment.
They might still be open from last night.
All right, let's try and chat to Kittens. And Keish
A local Aussie has gone viral over the weekend.
Oh, have they? Where are they from?
Well, she's from Victoria, okay. And she's gone viral already, but she's gone double viral because a video that she made of her being swooped by a magpie.
Oh, yes.
The Magpie Girl, which so many people would have seen. This video has finally been discovered by none other than Ellen DeGeneres.
Ooh. A short video from Australia to make us happy. We live in America.
And maybe you're thinking, you know what? I know Australia is beautiful, so maybe I don't have to drive a car. I can ride a bike. That's nice. So here's a woman riding a bike in Australia. Maybe she had birdseed on the top of her helmet.
Oh, my gosh. So what was happening in that video was a magpie repeatedly swooping a young Australian girl.
Yeah, now she's actually from down the road. She's from Mildura, and her name is Amber Wheatland, and we've got her on the line this morning. G'day, Amber. How are you going?
Hi, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Has your phone just been going absolutely mental all weekend?
It slowed down, but Friday when it aired on Ellen, Friday my phone nearly blew up, I think.
Amber, what's it like when Ellen's going to use a video of you? Do you get called by her people? Was this a total surprise to you?
No. Well, actually, because the video went viral about 5 years ago, welcome to the party, Ellen. The video is actually now owned and is managed by a third party.
So they
bought it off me and they own it now so they can distribute it. So I didn't really need to be told that it was on Ellen. But I certainly was by all of my friends and family on social media.
Can I ask you, how much did you sell the video for?
It wasn't as much as you'd think.
Right.
And I shared it with my friend who helped me, like, behind the scenes make the video as well. So it was only probably a couple of $1,000.
That's not bad for being attacked by a bird.
I know, yeah.
How did the video come about, Amber? What were you doing riding through that magpie-infested park?
Well, it was obviously it was swooping season at the time, and I decided that I would try to figure out the best ways because I'd heard a lot of sort of wives' tales, I guess, about what can deter a magpie. And there was like the sticks that feature in the original video that you put in your helmet, and then someone said that if you draw eyes on the back of your helmet, it means like you're having eye contact with the magpie all the time.
Yeah, and obviously none of these worked. Lastly, in the video, you shouted out, "Call mum." Did your mum have sympathy for you? Did she come and help you out?
That's my mum's claim to fame. She's very proud of that. She likes to tell people that that's her that I'm talking to in the video, so she feels kind of famous about it.
So she should. Amber, thanks so much for joining us. We are playing a brand new game.
Keisha and Tim, here if you need, with the Melbourne Vixens.
I'd say the Melbourne Vixens are coming to the Bendigo Stadium the March 30th and 31st, and we've got tickets to give away. Tim, can you explain to us how Here If You Need works?
Yeah, so it's a brand new game. This is the first time that we're playing it. Mm-hmm. Two contestants, two questions and two double passes to see the Vixens play. And two strangers are going to be working together.
Yes.
To try and nail these two questions. Our first Here If You Need-er is Craig from Bridgie. Craig, how are you going, mate?
Yeah, good.
Lovely. And I'd like to introduce you to your teammate, Sharon from Elphingstone.
Hello, Sharon.
Here we go.
Now, you guys are complete strangers and you are about to partake in Here If You Need. So the way it works is that I am going to ask you a question, Craig. Now, you have the option to either answer that question or pass the question to Sharon. Sharon, if at any time... Sharon.
Yeah, that's right.
If at any time you think you know the answer to the question, you can say Here If You Need. Okay. Now, we have two questions for you both, and if you get both questions correct...
You're both going to the netball.
How does that sound?
Awesome.
Okay.
Great. Look at that. They're in sync already. Is there anything that you guys want to say to each other? Do you want to strategize? I'll give you 10 seconds, okay? Go for it.
Hi, this is Sharon.
Pardon?
I hope you know the answers.
Okay, right. The strategy went terribly. Craig was breaking up and Sharon wasn't paying attention. Here we go. Okay, Craig, you've got the ball first.
Yes, the ball is in your court here, Craig. This is a multiple choice question.
And Sharon, you can say Here If You Need if you want.
In what year did netball become an Olympic sport? 1975 or 1995?
Craig, it's your question.
You can either answer the question or you can pass it to Sharon.
I'll pass that to Sharon. She might know more.
Sharon hasn't gone with here if you need. She hasn't let it be known that she knows the answer, so it's a big call.
Here if you need. Okay, Sharon, in what year did netball become an Olympic sport, 1975 or 1995?
Well, it's not an Olympic sport yet. It's only a Commonwealth sport.
International Olympic Committee designated netball as an Olympic registered sport.
Okay.
So that's my information. I should probably not trust Wikipedia. What are you going for, 1975 or 1995?
1995. Well, the answer is... yes, it was 1995. Mm-hmm. Nice work. Okay.
Congratulations.
Sharon, you hang on to the ball. We are going through to question number two.
Yes.
Craig, now, you're there if she needs.
Yes, Craig, you can call out. You might be a bit better for this one. Now, these are sporting-based questions. Not all netball, though. What national cricket team are known as the Baggy Greens?
Craig's there if you need, Sharon.
Yep, you have the option.
I'll pass it to you, Craig.
That's the Australian cricket team.
Lock in the Australian cricket team. Well, guess what?
Congratulations, you're both going to the netball.
Craig, Sharon, what a wonderful team. Hopefully you'll be sitting next to each other, but you do have double passes. Craig, who are you taking?
Matilda, my daughter,
she's going to love it. Sharon, who's going to be going along with you?
Probably my mum.
Oh, that there sounds nice. All right, so the Melbourne Vixens, they're coming to town March 30th and 31st at the Bendigo Stadium. And congratulations, you guys are both going along. It turns out the Baggy Greens are called that because they wear baggy green caps.
Thanks for that, Keisha. Wonderful to know. Yes, and it's been a huge morning because we just launched a brand new game called Here If You Need. And I gave Keisha... Went well, except I gave Keisha the job of writing the questions for the game. And many people have written in, including Jane, who said netball is 100% not an Olympic sport.
Yes, it turns out I probably should dive a little deeper when I'm researching the questions. I wanted to have like something that was netball-based to kick it off. Now, this is the answer. So I asked, when did netball become an Olympic sport? What I should have said was, when did it become an Olympic recognised sport, because apparently they're different things.
So officially, we've just looked into this. Netball is an Olympic recognised sport, a status attained in 1995 after a 20-year lobbying period. However, it has never been played at the Summer Olympics, so it is recognised by the Olympic Committee. Thank you so much for everybody texting in. And also,
and Sharon also definitely knew that.
And Sharon definitely knew that. Hey, everybody still won the tickets. They're still going.
They won the tickets as well.
And also, the upshot is, tomorrow... guess who's going to be writing the questions?
I might do a bit more research next time.
Yeah, I think it's going to be... Tim! I've said on the show this morning that there has been a secret challenge going on in my life that I finally get to announce and finally get to talk about.
Is this when I did the same thing the other day and I pranked you? Have you been pranking me?
No, there are no pranks involved in this. So in this show, for some reason, people love challenging me to things.
Because you're really competitive.
I'm very competitive.
Like,
I do
so competitive. I get no greater joy than when I beat you at menial tasks.
So some of the challenges that we've taken on the show last year, did the Oxfam Trail Walker, 100 kilometres in one go, was absolutely massive.
Yeah. Righto, mate, right.
This year, you challenged me to learn how to drive a manual.
Yeah, last week you lost an egg and spoon race.
That wasn't even on the show. That was just at our workday meat raffle.
All I'm saying is that you don't always succeed in these challenges.
No, I don't always win the challenges. Well, there is a new challenge that has been going on in my life for actually secretly the last 10 weeks. And finally this morning I'm getting to talk about it. The boxing gym that I go to, Keisha, it's called the Hit Factory. It's down the road from here. Mm-hmm. And they do something called a 12-week fight challenge.
Oh, okay. And I have noticed you started looking a little bit fitter. You're really starting to watch what you're eating. And you've been off the drink for that whole time too.
I have, yes. Yeah. So I was challenged to get involved in the Hit Factory's 12-week boxing challenge. What it is 12 weeks of training like an actual boxer, so training 5 or 6 times a week at the gym. And then on the very last night, there is a fight night where they match you up. There's about 20 guys and girls in the challenge. Mm-hmm. And on the night, they match you up with somebody. And in front of a crowd, you go 3 rounds.
Right.
And so...
can I come along?
Yeah, you can come along. So... okay. I was challenged to get involved with it. The whole thing is for an amazing cause, actually. So the gym has a thing called the Blue Light Program,
right,
which is that? It's designed for young kids who might have some difficulties in their lives. Maybe mm-hmm. they might have some problems at school or with attending school, things like that.
Yep.
And the Blue Light Program is there for the kids to come and learn boxing, and it gives them something to do.
And
it's
awesome.
Also run by local police. So it gives kids a chance to come and meet local police and work with them and realize that police can be a positive role models.
Right, yeah. Okay, and connect with them, make them, humanize them.
Yeah,
yep.
So cool. This Boxing Night is a fundraiser for the Blue Light Foundation.
Great.
And it is in 2 weeks, which means that for the last 10 weeks, Keisha, I have been training like Rocky, and I've been getting ready for my first fight.
Okay. I'm interested to see, I'm really excited to see how this actually pans out.
Now, on the weekend, we went in and we had a sparring session. And in a sparring session, we kind of do like some exercises and stuff when we're warming up.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, I thought I'd give you a little progress report. And I got a great progress report this weekend because we arrived at the gym and our coach, Coach Boone, said, all right, everybody, put your headgear on. And the kids' class was going on at the same time. They said, pick a kid. And so
to beat up.
I wasn't sure what was going on.
They said, really positive role models.
They said, pick a kid. And so I picked a young kid called Jarrett. And they said, all right, you're doing 2 minute rounds with your kid. And you are not allowed to throw a single punch.
Oh, good. Okay, so the kids are beating you up.
So for 3 rounds, young Jarrett beat the crap out of me. And afterwards had a chat with him. Asked him firstly how old he was. All right, Jarrett.
Hey.
How old are you?
I'm 11.
And what did we just do?
We just did sparring.
And how do you think it went?
Oh, well, you did well in your defense, and I think you could improve, but you still did very well, especially since you couldn't, like, really punch me, so...
What do you think the main things I need to improve on are?
Well, I think just keeping on your feet, just moving around, keeping your hands up, and, like, just calm down a little bit. But besides that, you did really well.
What was your favourite part of the sparring?
Oh, probably when I did that left jab straight into your face. Sounds a little bit mean, but it felt pretty good, so...
All right, thanks, Jarrett. Really motivational stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for having me.
I like Jarrett. He got to beat you up for 2 minutes. How do I become Jarrett?
That was Jarrett, 11 years old, did beat me up. So now the cat is out of the bag, training for this fight. It's on in 2 weeks. So you can join me on my journey. I'm going to start keeping you updated, Keisha.
I would like to keep updates with Jarrett as well.
We'll get him involved.
Naughty 640.
This is the time of the day where we talk about things that perhaps that is not safe for children. We do it early in the show, so if you do have a couple of kids in the car right now, you might want to turn down the volume for a little bit because this is not for them.
Little heads up. So this morning, Keisha, I found a new product. And I want to ask for the girl's opinion on this, okay? I need a girl's perspective on this. So a new, an adult toy has been created and has been launched. You know how when you watch like snowboarding videos and stuff?
Yeah.
Snowboarding, mountain biking, jet skiing, kind of those action adventure sports.
Mm-hmm.
There's that very specific GoPro footage cam.
Oh, like from the helmet or the head. Like it's usually strapped to the head, or in surfing it's on the board.
It is usually strapped to the head, yes. Well, there's a new product that has just hit the market that does the exact same thing, but it's strapped to a different type of head. It's strapped
what?
To... Yeah, this is designed for men. And all I'm going to say is it's strapped to your Lil Jon, which, in the words of Lil Jon...
What?
It's a camera.
Yep.
It's like a GoPro.
It's like a special adult GoPro that straps onto your manhood, Keisha. And it films, like, a point of view...
That's
from
a
down
point
there.
Of view that no one needs or wants to see.
So if you were to go and pick up a regular GoPro, obviously all of this, it's got all the like HD, 720, blah, 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 all of that stuff. On this one, I've had a look. It has 6 night vision modes.
Oh, my God, no. No, it doesn't.
It has a battery life of 90 minutes, which I think is probably more than enough for most people. And it's compatible with water-based, with all water-based lubricants. Keisha... Girl's perspective, is this the worst product that has ever been invented?
I'm going to put my foot down and say this is the worst product that has ever been invented. How much are these things? Do we know?
Yeah, I've actually got it here. Yeah, $160.
$160? I can think
cheap.
That it's cheaper than I expected it to be, but that does not change the fact.
I started off saying that
no
this was
one
stupid,
wants
but
this.
For $160, maybe it's worth it.
No one wants this. Who is purchasing these things? Don't you dare go and purchase one of these.
You know who is?
Okay!
Lil Jon, he's got one.
Tim, I want to talk to you about booking seats on a flight. Okay. Now, this comes up because last night I had to book some flights to Bali. One of my friends is getting married over there.
Congrats to them.
Yes. So I was on the phone to my friend that I'm going to Bali with. And because we were doing the booking separately, but on the same flight, it got to the point, you know, where you click past everything and you're like, no, I don't want insurance. No, I don't want to donate. Like, no, I don't want baggage, whatever. You get to the point where it's at seat selection.
I like that we just subtly found out how you feel about balancing out your environmental impacts of plants. Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's their responsibility. We got to the point where it was the seat selection part. And she was like, oh, just click don't. And I was like, no, we need to pick a seat because we're booking this separately, but we want to sit together on the plane. She was like, but it's an extra cost. Like, you get given a seat anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, but don't you want to make sure that we're sitting together on the flight over there? And she was like, yeah, but they'll do that when we check in. And I was like, mate, they might not. They might just assign us a random seat. We're doing these bookings separately. They've got no idea. Anyway, it got to the point where you actually had to pick which seat you wanted if you were to pick a seat. $26 they're charging for extra leg room. Yeah, to choose extra leg room seats. This is each way.
Yeah.
So that's an extra $50 on your flights. You pay more to sit up front. It's like $11 for your standard seat. Now, to me, $11, that's two coffees. I'm like,
at least three coffees.
Pick.
And you're going both ways as well.
Yeah, so $22 in total. But I was like, pick a seat because we want to sit together.
So 44, yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to sit near the toilet. I don't care. I'm not paying $26. That's too much. Just pick one of the cheapy 11s. And we can make sure that we're sitting together.
I think there are two fundamental types of human beings on this planet, Keisha. There are people who care that much about where they're sitting on a plane.
Yep.
That it is worth $56 or whatever that all just added up to.
$52.
And then there are people like me who just roll the dice.
You reckon?
I think you just roll the dice. You just rock up. You be nice to the person when you check in. You don't need to pay the $11.
Do you think that you can just turn up and go, hey, like I'm a tall person. Let me have the nice extra space.
Oh, they're not going to give you the emergency aisle or anything. Although it has been offered to me a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think, because you know what, Keish? When you're checking, when you go and you check in, the things that are really going to be game changers, screaming baby.
True.
Entire family worth of kids.
How do you pick to avoid
trip.
Them?
They don't come up on the website.
No,
so
they don't.
There's no paying your extra money. You're throwing it down the drain. You do better to invest that money in noise cancelling headphones.
Yeah, but I like to pick the seat because I pick the aisle because I know I'm going to need to get up and go to the bathroom. And I know people pick for the window because they want the nice views and the extra leanable space.
Yeah, but you can get that when you check in. 13, 12, 16. Do you pay to pick your seat?
I do.
I reckon it's a waste of money. Oh, you don't know who you're going to be sitting next to. Sometimes you just got to roll the dice and find out. You got to let the airlines pick for you.
Let's find out what Cara from Axedale thinks. Cara, do you pay the extra money to book a seat?
Morning, guys. I don't personally. I'm all about check in, just get whatever seat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
but
Cara.
If I'm flying with my lovely husband, we have to pay extra. It has to be the emergency aisle because my husband is 6'6" tall.
Oh, okay. Okay, so this makes sense to me. Like, see, I've seen people crouched into plane chairs before and just thought, geez, I'm glad in one time of my life, I can't see at concerts, but I'm much more comfortable on planes. So are you a bit annoyed because you, I mean, if you
Your
were flying
husband's
alone.
He's a $26 liability, Cara.
Well, usually it's more than $26. I know we flew to Koh one time and it was a ridiculous charge, but they moved us to the emergency seat on the way up for free, but on the way back we had to sit separately.
Why did they have to separate?
They've broken up your marriage to put him in the emergency seat.
We paid for the emergency seat for him, but on check-in for us, that we sat, I think, two rows behind him, so which is all fine, you know.
I mean, it's fine because he's 6 foot seven, so he can still turn it. You can see him from anywhere on the plane.
Yeah. Donna from K-Flat, what is your opinion? Do you pay the extra for the to pick your seat on a flight?
Yes, we do. We've just paid. It's only $20 extra
for
an aisle seat to go to Phuket and back.
Right, so it's only, is that like $10 each way?
Yep, $10 each way.
And you reckon that that's worth it because it means that you can unobstructedly walk to the bathroom and back?
That's correct.
But Donna, you miss out on the thrill of arriving at the airport and lining up and going and speaking to some chick called Janine and saying, can I please have an ask? You could save yourself that $20 if you roll the dice.
No, Donna, I'm totally on your side.
I'm on your side too. Sorry, Tim.
Do you know why, Tim? Because I've rolled the dice before, got plunked in the middle and had to ask someone to get up seven times.
Yeah, it's nice. And then you get a little snuggled. You get a little snuggly flight from two strangers.
Donna, I think you're correct. It's worth $20 to go to the bathroom comfortably.
All right.
It is, yeah.
Enjoy your flight to Phuket, Donna.
Yeah, enjoy
that. I will.
Weird news battles on Hit.
Let the battle round begin.
Keisha, I've got a story that comes out of Australia for our weird news this morning.
All right, what's happening here?
I've got a real fun one. It's always fun when all of the names have been redacted. All the names are crossed out, like the names haven't been released.
Oh, like retracted names.
Okay. So redacted is when the police don't let you know the names.
Oh, all right, I didn't know that.
It's always a good sign when the New South Wales police are not releasing any of the names in the story.
Okay.
So we're going to just call them John and Bob, okay?
Sure. What have John and Bob done?
John has had his life saved by his mobile phone, which is a story that you don't hear very often.
Often we hear the opposite.
Yeah. So John, he was out in rural New South Wales in a place called Nimbin. Do you know about Nimbin?
I do know where Nimbin is. Byron Bay.
Yeah. So he was going for a walk out in Nimbin. He bumped into Bob. Again, not their real names. Bumped into Bob. Some type of altercation has begun.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob just happened to have a hunting crossbow on him.
If any of our listeners know about Nimbin, I don't need to say
anymore. It makes
a
lot of sense. Yeah. Does that make sense? Happened to have a crossbow. I'm not sure what type. John has pulled out his mobile phone to try and record him being attacked by a crossbow. Bob has fired an arrow. And it has, you know how in the movies, like in the war movies, they might have a Bible in their pocket or something and the bullet like hits the Bible? It's done that in the mobile phone. This arrow has pierced the phone and only come out by a couple of centimetres on the other side. It's given him minor lacerations. This Bob, in inverted quotes, fired a hunting arrow at this dude and his mobile phone saved his life.
I am absolutely gobsmacked. Okay, I will admit, very good weird news battle because I don't know if Mike can top it. I want to talk about
super Nimbin.
Very Nimbin crossbow. Of course, it's happening in Nimbin. I want to talk about Coles Mini Collectibles, the new stickies ones. Have you been collecting them?
Do you know, sometimes when I go to any grocery store, the thing comes up and it says you
like
can
Disney
have
tiles
one of these
from
things.
Yeah,
but I say yes because I've got family friends who are kids.
Oh, okay.
But I don't even look at them, so I don't even know if I have these stickies.
Well, as it turns out, there are a couple that are very, very rare. One includes Golden Billy Banana. Now, apparently only 100 of these were released. And one of them has sold for $20,100 eBay.
Which spoilt kid is getting a $20,000?
I haven't gotten that zero wrong. $20,000.
Oh,
apparently,
Daddy, please give me your credit card.
I need Golden Billy Banana. Apparently, when you get one of these, they're redeemable for a $100 Coles voucher. Now, I don't know if anyone taught them a thing or two about that. But that is not a fair trade.
What math are we teaching kids these days?
$20,000. Who has money like this? I need to know who has money like this.
How
I need to buy myself a crossbow.
Get yourself a crossbow. Hunt down that kid. Give me a Golden Billy Banana.